The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to Psalm number 2 today, we begin looking at this psalm as it stands with the first to introduce the whole book of the Psalms. First, a word of prayer. You find Psalm number 2. We'll begin reading with verse number 1. Father, it is in Jesus' name that I come today. I thank you for the cross of Calvary, for the work of Christ there upon the tree. Thank you for his glorious person and how he came, was born of a virgin, lived a holy and sinless life that he might redeem mankind from sin, from death, and from an eternity of separation and punishment in everlasting fire, which shall never be quenched. We plead the blood and ask for your grace and power to preach your word for Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Psalm number 2, verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now let me remind you that we made the comment in our earlier studies in Psalm 1, that Psalm number 1 and Psalm number 2, they stand alone, yet they read together as an introduction to the 150 Psalms in this inspired collection. Psalm 1, we're pointed to God's law. Psalm 2 rings out loudly on the note of prophecy, and thus we are pointed not to the law of the Lord, but to the Lord of the law. And in Luke 16:16, we see that New Testament record that the Old Testament scriptures ring out clearly on the notes of the law and the prophets. The Psalms amplify both God's law and God's prophecy. Now, we said earlier in a study of Psalm number 1 that one theme for the book of Psalms can be this: God will bless the righteous and he will judge the wicked, and it will be according to his divine law and the plan of prophecy. And the response of men to God's anointed Son makes all the difference. Christ is the Son of God. He is the Lord from heaven. He is the Messiah of Israel. He is the Savior of men. And what you do with Jesus Christ the Lord will determine the end of your life, yea, the eternity that you must face. Psalm 1, we face the crossroads. A choice was put before us. A consequence was placed in our sight, in our hearing, if you will, in our grasp. Which way will we choose? Which man, which person will we be, righteous or ungodly? Which end will we have? The choice is illuminated and made plain before our eyes in Psalm number 2. What will we do with God's Son, even his anointed, even his King? So Psalm 2 stands in the first 9 verses with prophetic insight. The world unites in raging rebellion against God and Christ. This messianic psalm gives us vision and clarity for the real world scene and gives us the world as God sees it to be. Let me say quickly, do not get your world view from YouTube or from the internet or from someone claiming to know Bible prophecy, claiming to have visions from God, a word from God, a new revelation from God. No, go to the book. Go to your King James Bible. Let the Spirit of the Lord shed light on the Word of God, and thus you will find the right worldview from the Scriptures, and it speaks of yesterday, and it speaks to today, and it speaks of tomorrow, and it never, ever fails. It is infallible. It is never, ever wrong. It is inerrant. It is the very words of God, for it is inspired, and praise God, His Word has been preserved for you and me. Prophetic insight, Psalm 2, verses 1 through 9. But then we find the Psalm's present instruction, verses 10 through 12. I use the word present instruction because we're going to see that it is yet applicable to our day. There obviously is a primary interpretation with a primary application to the kings of the earth and the judges of the earth, but we want to make a present application and heed the instruction that we can receive from this psalm even for today. So back up to verse 1, 2, and 3, and we see the psalm's prophetic insight first in its view of the world. Then in verses 4 through 9, we find a view of the Lord. Verses 1, 2, and 3, we find a clear view of what the world really is at heart. This is the spirit of the world in action. The world then is proven to be and pictured here as an organized system which despises the righteous rule of its creator, and mankind is ready at a minute's notice to take up arms against the Lord in order to assert man's way and oppose God's way. Men are evil, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and mankind will stop at nothing to rid the world of God. This spirit of rebellion was bred into man ever since the day of the fall in the Garden of Eden, when Eve took of the fruit, and she gave unto Adam, and he partook of the same, and when they ate the fruit, they sowed the seeds of rebellion. This rebellion has been manifested over and over and over. It is clearly seen in the flood in Noah's day, clearly seen in the Tower of Babel in Nimrod's day, and go down through the history of the nation of Israel and see over and over that not only the Gentile nations of the world, but God's chosen people, Israel, manifest a spirit of rebellion and a desire for their way over against God's way. Now, Psalm 2, 1 through 3 finds a double fulfillment. It is fulfilled first at Calvary. You find this fulfillment in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 28, when the kings of the earth, even Herod, when the rulers, even Pontius Pilate, with the nations of men, the Romans, the Gentiles, and the religious rulers of the Jews, gathered together against that holy child Jesus, and they took counsel and concerned themselves with this question: what shall we do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? Peter saw that first fulfillment and applied it literally to his day at the mouth of the Spirit of God and the prompting of God's Spirit, and it's recorded Acts 4, verses 24 through 28. But the final and fuller fulfillment of this psalm, verses 1, 2, and 3, will be at Armageddon, when the world formally unites in rebellion against God's Son. Having rejected His grace at Calvary, they will reject His government in that coming day. And whether it be the tree and the cross of Calvary, or whether it be at the Valley of Megiddo and the Battle of Armageddon, we see that God is able to make the wrath of men to praise Him, even according to Psalm 76 and verse 10. And to this we must say, Amen, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Such is man's raging rebellion. We'll seek to expound these truths next time together, but until then, may you find the blessings of God upon your knees and in the Word of the Lord. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.